we want to do some work on the PU team of the Yom Kippur, and there's lots to be done, and I don't think that we'll be able to do everything today. So I want to go straight to the PU team themselves. But I must say that before that, I didn't finish the story about that melody of the Kohanim, the melody of the Kohanim for the Matnat Yad celebration. And so the continuation of the story was that once Yizkor service became into a fashionable thing in many congregations, and they had Matnat Yad ceremony and Yizkor service, the melody was called Nigun Matnat Yad, Oder, that means or, Mesim Nigun, the melody of the dead, because it was connected to Yizkor. In other words, the melody which was supposed to be the melody of Matnat Yad, of a very jolly ceremony, became the same melody for the Yizkor service, because it was the same day. And it was called Mesim Nigun, the melody of the dead. And it became so ingrained that in 1898, it was published in England. The melody was published with an accompaniment in England, and it was impressed so much the people in England that Queen Victoria declared it as the melody that should be sung in funerals of royalty. And in 1905 it became a decree. I don't know if it's still kept like that, but at the beginning of the century, that melody with the arrangement for organ became a kind of an anthem for the for funerals or memorials for the royal, for the British royalties. Just a curious end to this story. Okay, so now we go to the PU team. And the first PU that we have is Yale, which is found in your prayer books on page 1.
Sorry, Shacharit, not
the... Just a minute. The first piyut that we have in the entire Yom Kippur service is Yale, on page 187. And in that piyut, there is a hint to that we're going to sing all sorts of piyutim in the evening, in the morning, and in the following evening, that means on Ne'ilah. Ya'ale tachanuneinu me'erev, ve'yavo shavateinu mi'boker, ve'yira'e rinuneinu ad arev. So let the supplication come up from the evening, ve'yavo shavateinu mi'boker, and our cry out comes in the morning, and then Reinu Neinu, our melody, will be heard until the evening. And that was considered a hint for Paitanim, for those who write Piyutim, to have many Piyutim in the morning, in the evening and in the morning, and until Ne'ilah. And so you have interspersed in the services various piyutim. And if we go to our Shacharit service, then the first one is not particularly one for Yom Kippur, but for every occasion. Shachar Avakesh Chatzuri Umizgabi, page 212 in your in your prayer book, in מחזור שער הרגש שלך, by Shlomo Ibn Gabirol, and that piyut can be done on every shacharit. 215. What did I say? 215. Shachar Avakeshcha. Now, which melody are you do you use on?
We don't. We read it.
Beautiful melody. Where is this melody from? Who? Who wrote it?
Yopi. Remember Arnhem.
No, Yopi. Of course I know Yopi.
No. Remember in Arnhem.
Oh. Right. So I not only. No. Yeah. Very nice. Okay.
Please.
So I heard that Nava is going to Nava has the as Shachar Avakeshcha that she composed, and in fact we wanted to
not yet.
Okay.
Tamara also has something.
I have another one from America, but I'm not sure whether I can
Can I just ask you, three of you, please record them. Let me have them.
Yeah.
Can you record them at the fifth?
Yeah.
We can do a website. We can do it later on. Okay. Yeah. We can do it today.
Yeah. Nava.
Please.
Nava, what is your melody? Yeah. Okay, very nice. But should we, to do justice to Nava Tehila, it has to be done slower.
Much slower.
Okay, so we have two beautiful melodies, and we have the other melody.
The American one, yeah.
So, as David said, please record these, and if possible, they have to be put in notation. So your Nava is in notation. The other one that you sang, yeah, look it up. And do you have?
Written out.
Do you know who composed it?
Yes, I'm not sure now, but I have the.
Okay, very good. So we'll have at least. Okay, so we'll have at least three melodies. So now I hear about another one. Which one is that?
just do the start, but it sounds like
It is Yom Kippur, you have time for all four.
Now,
okay. Last song will be sung in the afternoon.
This melody is by Bon Yashur.
Yes.
Okay. And what's nice in it is that it has this kind of flavor of the Sephardi. So this is also a good melody. So we have quite a few melodies. I could add about five more, but we don't need to go that far. We already have a good number of melodies. So please provide. I can provide the music. Do you have the music of Bon Yashur?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So that also, but it cannot be published on the web because it's copyrighted.
Yeah.
So be very careful about it. You can record it and put it in on the web, but you cannot. Then we have immediately after that we have Adon Olam, Adon Olam Asher Malach, and how do you do Adon Olam on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? No, that's not the way to do it. Yeah, you can use a melody like that, but there are melodies for Adon Olam, for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in the Lewandowski collection. Where is that? No, here's a he has a yigdal there. The melody for Adon Olam on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur goes like this. Adon Olam Asher Malach Beterem Kol Yetzir Nivra Beit Nasa Vechefzo Kol Azai Melech Shemo Nikra Ve'acharei Ichlot HaKol Levado Imloch Nora Ve'hu Haya Ve'hu Oveh Ve'hu Yiyah Be'tihar Ara. And it goes on like that. It's a very old melody, and I, if you put it on the list, I will record it better. It's not in the in the book of Lewandowski, but it's in the Be'er Bald Pila. He has a Yigdal instead, which goes Yigdal Elohim Chai Ve'Yishtavach. Nimtza ve'yayna al metziyotoro Echad ve'yayn yachir ke'yichudoro Ne'la ve'gam esof ve'achdutoro. That's the melody, and in some congregations they sing this very Yigdal at the end of the services on the evening of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's a very beautiful melody and can be used. Okay, let's go on. And the next piyut that we encounter is much, much later.
Can I ask you?
Yeah.
How old is Adon Olam?
Beterem kol yetzir nivra.
Good. Then my suspicion was right.
A Chazan was asked once, how many Adon Olam do you have? He said one.
Is it known who wrote the text?
No, it was once assumed that Shlomo Ibn Gabirol wrote it, but we know now that it's a mistake, that we do not know actually. We know about the Igdal, that Yehuda HaDayan in Italy, probably in the 14th century, wrote it, but we do not know about Adon Olam. It has some features that come from Spanish poetry, but it's not consistent. When Shlomo Ibn Gabirol wrote a poem like that, it was consistent. All the rhythms were consistent through the entire poem. But here, it's not consistent, and therefore, we are not sure exactly who wrote it.
Also, the Sephardim have an extra verse.
Yeah.
They have a sixth verse.
It's medieval, but we don't know when exactly it was composed. Yeah. Okay. Now, the next piyut that we have is on page 280. It's already in the Amidah, in Chazarat Hashatz. But 280. Now it's called a peticha or a reshut. That means the idea that this is the first big piyut in the Amidah. All of the piyutim in the Amidah are called kerovot. Kerovot from the word karov, being close to God. And this is the first kerova, and therefore it is kind of a permission to pray. And the idea is about the shortness of time of a human being, and the moral that we have to take from this story, and we need to repent and come back to God.
If you read this, you will see several quotes and sentences coming back in the liturgy of the Yizkor service we talked about yesterday. It just starts with Enosh, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the theme comes back.
Right. And this poem is written, like many other poems, in acrostics of Aleph-Bet, alphabet acrostics. You can see it, Enosh, and then Balachim, Galui, Diratcha, etc. Now, do you, in your congregations, are you used to sing it? Are you used to read it? Are you used to chant it? What is it?
No, just read a adapted translation to it. So the first lines, and then a translation, and the Chazan only carries on with Imbron Elohim.
Okay, so I will just chant a sample of it when it's done. It's done. It's one of the piyutim that are done in nusach and not to a melody. Ad yom moto techake lo litshuva lehantoto litchiya enosh maizke וצוודוק לא זקו בעיניך בלחים עם טיבר האש מה בחציר יבש גלוי לך חושך כמור משוטט כל בעין גדירת חבא סתר, וגלויות לך כל נסתרות. עדן יחידי, ובאחד ומי ישיבנו, ועל גוי יד ועל אדם יחד, ועל גוי ועל אדם יחד ינתקיו, ואין מי ירשיעם. The same melody goes all the way to the end. Ta da 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 da. As four sections to read. Then, on page 283, you have ימלוך אדוני לעולם אלוהיך ציון לדור ודור הללויה, ואתה קדוש יושב תהילות ישראל. This was always an opening for a piyut. What we have here is only the remnants of the piyut, Anas Lachna. So the name of the game is that you sing Yimloch Adonai in major, and then you go back to the same melody that we were before for the Ad Yom Moto. Yimloch, just to be brief, and then we'll go to the other in
Memo. I just have a big cross.
Oh, right, that you don't do it at all.
Don't do it at all.
Just for the record,
because what you get with the melody is the regular Yimloch from the Kedusha. The people sing here and doesn't fit them in any way.
Okay, the tradition has it this way. Yimloch Adonai leolam Elohaich Tzion ledor vador hallelujah ve'ata kadosh yoshev teilot Israel ana selachna pesha ve'avon sa'ana v'chochacha v'yigdana Kadosh, Ana Rachum Kaper, Avon Tzadim, Teilatcha Lesaper, Veyuchaku Lechayim Tovim Basefer, Kadosh. So, the same melody that was before is said here. So here, that's only for your record. Now we come to Imru Leilohim. Okay, now, there are many melodies for Imru Elohim. Tom, you have a melody for Imru Elohim. Go. Okay. Who?
Let Michelle do it.
Okay, Michelle. Baruch Hu Meula, go on. Okay.
Ready?
Okay, not everybody knows this.
No, it's on the CD, yes? It's on the CD, so you all have it.
It's also in the North.
Yeah.
Which one?
The high holiday, huh?
I still don't have it.
Okay, just to make sure that everybody knows it, let's do again the first verse. Listen, please. Yeah, notice that there is, in many piyutim like that, you have a line which is an opener. Say unto God, Ma nora lemaasecha, imru leElohim. That's an opener, opening line, and then comes the melody itself. So let's do it. Uvechein imru leElohim, Ma nora maasecha. Let's go on.
Imru leElohim,
Okay, now in the tradition, you see that Hodu l'Adonai kiru v'shmo is a kind of a paragraph by itself. And then you have Shiru lo zamru lo is another paragraph. This piyut is based on the on alphabetical order, El Melech Bo'olamo, and then Baruch Hu Gudal, then Goel, then Dagul. Every verse is alphabetically arranged. So this is one thing. And then Hodu l'Adonai kiru v'shmo, hodiu v'amim alilotav, shiru lo zamru lo, hitalelu v'shem kodsho. These are verses from a psalm. It's one psalm, the end of verses in one psalm. It appears in Divrei Yamim, in Chronicles, and in a different version in Psalm. I can't remember now. I owe you an answer.
No, Psalm 18 is Shmuel Beit.
No, it's not Psalm. I owe you an answer for that. I forgot the number of Psalms. So these are verses from the Psalm, and the idea was that the Chazan sings the stanza, the entire verse, but the Kahal sings these verses, Hodu l'Adonai kiru v'shmo. So let's do it again, and we'll answer Michel with Hodu l'Adonai kiru v'shmo. Okay? Would you please do it again? And Imru Elohim, and you go to Imru Elohim, okay? Sing again the melody of Hodu l'Adonai exactly the way you know it. Hodu l'Adonai kiru v'shmo. And Imru Elohim. That is what the congregation is supposed to do.
Yeah. That's what they do.
Yeah. So, we'll chant it again. Ho, ho, do. Ho, Baruch Meulah al Berov Godlo, Mechish Slicha Le'amo. Okay, and then you repeat that Shiru l'Adonai Zamru Shemo is said by the congregation, and the congregation repeats Imru l'Elohim. Okay, now there's one danger in that melody. Well, first of all, here it's very low. So you have to start it higher than you started it. Now it's manageable. You have to be careful about these things when you sing, not to do it too low. The congregation will not be able to. Now, how do you do the last verse? Baruch Adonai Elohei Israel. Min haolam ad haolam. Baruch Adonai Elohei Israel is one unit. Yeah. If you do it, Baruch Adonai. What's that? Yeah. Baruch Adonai. Elohim Yisrael. Emin haolam ve'ad haolam. No, you don't say Emor Elohim.
That's that?
No. Baruch Adonai Elohim Yisrael. Min haolam ve'ad haolam, or something like that, to finish it.
Yeah, because
otherwise we'll do the Kehillah. I will do. Baruch Adonai Elohei Yisrael, min haolam ve'ad haolam. And a big ridotto there, so that everybody knows that it's finished.
Finish.
Okay. Now we go to the next field. Next field is Uvchein Aderecha Chai Olamin, Aderet VaEmuna LeChai Olamin. The question is, do you people say it or not?
No. But again, again, there are a number of these things we don't do because we don't have music for it.
No, we have.
Do we?
For what?
For the next one, yeah.
Aderet VaEmuna.
So
the question is, do you want music for it, or do you want to skip it? That's the question.
Well,
there are so many melodies for Aderet VaEmuna.
If you can give us a few melodies, you know, if the music, it depends a bit on how you divide the day and the timing of it. We have, what we did, in Amsterdam, we cut the Shacharit from 3 hours to two.
Yeah.
To have more time in the late afternoon and for the Neila, not Russian Neila. It was removed a bit, and to get the Torah reading a bit forward, and therefore a number of P.U.T. more so went out, specifically the ones that we didn't have music for, that were just read. And reading P.U.T., you know, yes, that is something that the Shamas does in the morning before people arrive.
So we'll skip this one. But let me tell you that there are melodies that range from very strict West European chants that come to us from the Middle Ages to Hasidic melodies that incorporate even Yiddish into that. For instance, Haderes ve'aymuna tzuveimen lechai olomim. Tzuveimen, to whom? To Lechai Olamim. So we'll skip to it, and we go to Le'el Orech Din. What do you people do for Le'el Orech Din?
290. That answer is quite clear, isn't it?
What is it clear? Nothing is clear.
What did you people do for it?
Silence.
Silence.
So, again, I'm not clear about that. Leil Orech Din is not said. Who is it said? In your congregations, Leil Orech Din, is it said or not?
I think it's Chazan congregation.
Okay, which melody?
And then the gemeente goes la 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 la. Something like that.
Yeah. If most congregations it's not sung, then I will record a version for two versions for it, for Leil Orech Din. There is one version in major, similar to the one that we heard now, and there is one in minor, which goes Uvechein lecha kol yachtiru le'el orech din. And then the tradition is that you go in a slanted way, the verses go Levochen levavot biyomdin legole amukot badin ledovei mesharim biyomdin lehoge deot badin. So you go second line, first line, second line, second part, first part. לברוכן לבבות ביום דין לגולי עמוקות בדין לדובר מישרים ביום דין להוגה דעות בדין לבתיק ועושה חסד ביום דין לזוכר בריתו בדין etc. It goes all the way like that. Alright, after that comes the Kedusha, and after the Kedusha we have the Uvchein, and by the way I recorded the Uvchein. Huh? No, it became a minhag in many, many congregations, all in Eastern Europe and Western Europe, that the Chazan does the beginning, and Le'el Orech Din. He goes right into Le'el Orech Din. Then the congregation says, Le'vochen Le'vavot B'yom Din, Le'goleh Amukot B'yom Din, and the Chazan repeats.
Yeah, but that's something that just happens, and then people take over.
Other example, when I came to Amsterdam, we sang Psalm 92, Tov Lehodot, the Chazan the first four words, and the congregation the next one, which means the congregation had all the long, difficult pieces to sing, and the Chazan the very short. So I said, let's switch it. So the Chazan begins with the introduction, and then the first line, and then it works much better. Pragmatism. Nothing else. Things happen.
Something like that spreads all over Eastern Europe, Western Europe, and then it comes in
Hag,
and then it becomes
Halakha. Yes? Quite right. Marianne, you've got it. Finally.
And then it becomes missing night.
No, Marianne, you don't understand. This was always the intention that was revealed on Sinai. We are only slowly rediscovering it.
Let me tell you, if you have a problem with it, that it's not only although we Jews like to complicate matters, as we already know, but it's also in every religion you have things like that things where somehow there is a thing that works for a while as a free thing, and then it crystallizes, or you can say it petrifies, and becomes a monolithic idea, and then you cannot digress for it.
Well, this is the power of the minhag, and the minhag is as strong as halakha, and sometimes I say minhag is a defense of the congregation against the new rabbi and the new chazan, who comes in and changes everything. You know, minhag, respect the minhag.
Yeah. Okay, let's go on to the next piyut, and it is Shofet Kol Haaretz, page 300. This is This is the melody that people loved, and we have records of it from the 18th century already, early 18th century. This is one of the melodies that Benedetto Marcello. Heard in the ghetto of Venice in 1718, when he was collecting melodies from the various Jewish communities of the ghetto of Venice. And he went, one of the communities in the ghetto was the Tedeschi. Tedeschi were the German Jews who came to northern Italy and settled there. And he heard this Shofet Kol Haaretz from there, and it's the first time that it was written down. So it's a very old melody, but a very loved one.
But is it an Ascheparic melody then? Because Ascheparic. Because it's from German,
it's a no, it's an Ashkenazi melody.
So it's actually an Ashkenazi melody.
It's Ashkenazi melody that wandered into Italy, and in all the in Ashkenazi synagogues they used to sing it this way in various variations. But okay, let's sing it once. Okay, who wants to sing the Shofet Kol Haaretz? Because there are many versions. I don't want to sing it myself because I may know a version which is not exactly yours. Come on. That's it. That's beautiful. Okay, can we sing it together, Bevakasha? Yuli, Shofer. Sing the next verse. Mate. Can say that this is the structure of the melody is typical of the German surrounding, and in medieval times the Minnesinger, the troubadours, the German troubadours developed a form which was called bar form, and the bar goes A, repetition of A to a different set of words, and B. And this is exactly the way this melody is structured. A very old style melody. So, Shofer Kol Haaretz Ota B'Mishpat Ya'amid A, Nachayim Ochesed Alam, that's me. And then, these are called Stollen. Stollen, Stollen. And then there is Abgesang, which is a longer, a more developed kind of melody with a nice ending. So that is a very old kind of form of the melody. So this is on the recording and on the web, right? It is on the web, yeah?
At least on the CD. What's on the CD will be on the web also in time.
Okay. So please learn it. It's a very important melody. Let's go on to there is a piyut actually, Pianu Amecha. We've dealt with it already. Okay. Briefly, who can sing Pianu Amecha?
Okay. 309.
309, please. I'm sorry. Okay.
Come on.
Bevakasha. This is one of the Lewandowski melodies for it. He has another one. And if you sing this one, both of them are very nice, so we don't need to go further on this subject. We have Mi El Kamocha on page 314.
Yes, yes, yes.
Why are the Piyutim on this list? Because if I look at 309, it's a Piyut. To me, 308 is just a matter of printing. Why is that?
Which one?
308. No.
No. Why this is prose? This is.
Why is it not prose? This is written for classical. The way how you print it.
No.
A prose is a prose.
No, Mariana, this is really prose. Altas veino el ticeno. There is some kind of poetic structure there, because there are lots of words which end with nu and ha ha ha.
Well, they
but they're not. It's not really structured of as a real field. It doesn't have any rhythm to it.
Writing poems because they rhyme is not difficult in Hebrew.
Yeah. You know, that's not the point, but why did they put the, you know, like the field, you know, in those places? I mean, it could be
what happens is that you have a basic structure of prayers, and then people embellish. Yes, you know, somebody writes something and they read it, like we have other poems, other things you put in. And sometimes people like it very much. And they go somewhere else, and they hear it, and they also like it. So they take it also. And things grow. The problem has become, at a certain point, you have to cut and leave things out. You know, so what do you leave out, and what do you cut? But that's how Don Olam came in. That's how the Chaludi came. That's how things move. It's a live body.
Let me just illustrate
why. You just don't feel poetry. That's your problem.
Yeah. Why this is different from there is a difference. Take a look at this Mi El Kamocha, which is a piyut, and you can see the structure there is very, very strict. First of all, it's alphabetically arranged. You see, Aleph, Bet, Gimel. Every line is alphabetically. Then every line ends with a blessing from the Amidah. Do you see that? Magen Avraham, Mechayei Metim, HaMelech HaKadosh, Chonen HaDat, HaRotzeh B'Tshuva. That's the weekday Amidah. The entire weekday Amidah is in there. And it has a refrain, Mi'el Kamocha. So all of these make it into a very strict kind of a piyut, rather than a prose text. Okay? So, what do you do with Mi'el Kamocha?
Mi'el Kamocha. Mi'el Kamocha.
Okay, we'll stop right here because it's all repetition. Now, Mi'el Kamocha is always has a repetitive melodies, and like that, and they are very popular kind of melodies, and melodies that are designed so that the congregation can always answer Mi'el Kamocha, and it's very easy for the congregation because it's only three words that are repeated many, many times. And this is the kind of a structure of a poem which was very common in ancient times, and it's called litany. This is one of the litanies that you have. This is a very sophisticated litany. There are some other ones which are more simple. Now, and you see that every Jewish community has these kind of melodies, which are very, very popular. For instance, in the Sephardic, Eastern Sephardic melodies, you have Mi'el Kamocha Alecha Bekoram Magen Avraham Mi'el Kamocha Ve'yachah mi'imtim Me'chayeh ametim Mi'el Kamocha. So the Chazan has these little turns, and the congregation just says Mi'el Kamocha.
I have the impression that parts are cut out, or does it mean that you miss letters?
Again, I didn't understand.
It's on alphabetical order. Often you see in the POT that you miss out letters. So
I
draw the conclusion that lines have been deleted.
Exactly.
Does that mean that you can just, if you can delete 10 letters, with letters, you can also delete 12 or 8.
That is true. Piyutim, that's what it. Yeah, yeah.
You can also add.
No, we don't. Mm-hmm.
Avinu Malkeinu started as only the last verse. And then more and more and more have been added, taken out, added on to, shifted around, and you can follow it through different masorim and periods. It's very variable, but people loved it, and so they add to it, so they add more to it, and so it gets too long, so they cut it.
This is an old process. This is an old process. I don't know who cut this one. There is a fuller version in some Orthodox machzorim, which have all the entire thing. You can see that also some of the benedictions from the Amidah are missing here. The Amar Belis Luach and then Hatov Lecha Leodot. There are many prayers between that, This is supposed to represent the entire Amidah of the weekdays.
There are 9 brachot of the 19.
Yeah. So you there are some mistakes. So now the question is, like a detective, you have to find out who is the culprit, who done it. Sometimes it is a matter of reformation that they wanted to just relieve the tediousness of it and cut a few verses from the pure team. But we know that such processes began very, very early. There was a very famous scholar, Dr. Goldschmidt, who wrote voluminously about the history of prayers. And he published Machzorim for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, for every festival. He has a Machzorim. And in his Machzorim, he tried to give the fullest text possible of this. And yet, you will see that in every different piyut, every other piyut, he would say, the text is missing here, probably from the early medieval times, because I did not find it in manuscript such and such from 1400. So already in medieval times they started cutting these things.
What you don't see are the complete piyutim that were left out. Like you have a Megillat Ta'anit, which is Talmudic, where they have cut out a whole lot of fast days. It's a list of the days that we don't observe anymore. Yeah, these things happen. If you go to page 425, you will see the second Miel Kamocha in the Musaf.
Right.
425. Same melody, different text.
Yeah, yeah, but here the Adir V'Nahor this is common. This Adir V'Nahor is common to all the communities, Eastern, that means Sephardi and Ashkenazi, and it was preserved just because it had in every line it has two letters of the alphabet. Adir v'Nahor Aleph Borei Dok v'Chelek Bet Goleh Amukot Dover Tzedakot. So you have Melech Melachim Nora Minisgav Somech Noflim Oneh Ashukim, and then Shochen Shechakim Tomech Tmimim. So the entire alphabet is there.
Yeah. But it's short, so you...
Yeah, and it's... Yeah. And because it's short, and because of the people didn't cut it, that's all. So how do we sing this Miel Kamocha?
I think there was... You said something about this last time, and it's also a bar melody?
Yes. What?
It's a bar form melody.
Yeah, yeah, it is a bar form melody. Yeah. So
AAB.
AAB. Right. All of these are very, very old melodies that were popular. And okay. So let's then go. We don't.
Same melody.
Yeah.
No.
No, that's the Sephardic melody. Yeah. The other one is the Sephardic.
So, just Adina Malkina still to go.
Yes. Now, yeah.
About 425, I have written...
425. Right.
Mia Kamocha. I've written that you can sing it as AAB or ABAB.
Yeah, that's the question is, what do you do when a melody like that is, you have a problem with finishing it off so that you have all the verses included. So, in such cases, we discussed that last time, and we found out that for good reasons. In sometimes you need to sing instead of AAB, you have to sing ABAB.
Like we do with Shalom Aleichem, huh? ABAB instead of ABBA.
Yeah, that's already.
First you AAB a few times, and then you continue in ABAB.
In this, well, there's always a problem with Brahm. We discussed it last time that in certain places, in certain Piyutim, he had a special arrangement that he made for the verses, so that they will all fit into the melody and will not create some problems in that.
Okay.
Okay. Now, how much time do we still have?
Nothing. What do you still want to do? We have only.
I wanted to talk about Maaseh Eloheinu.
Okay, prima.
Yeah.
Okay. 381.
Maaseh Eloheinu.
But then you're in Musaf again.
Yeah, we're in Musaf. Yeah, because after that we don't have, as far as I know,
except Avinu Malkeinu.
Avinu Malkeinu, we have discussed that. If you want to discuss Avinu Malkeinu,
if you want to talk about the
Just a minute, just a reminder of Avinu Malkeinu. There are various ways of doing Avinu Malkeinu. Which remind me of your melody, please.
Avinu Malkeinu.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful melody for Avinu Malkeinu. It gives you the kind of atmosphere that you need for Avinu Malkeinu. And yeah.
You can try, but you won't be Barbara anyway.
Yeah. Just a minute. Let me tell you. If we're already on that, that melody, the Avinu Malkeinu by Max Shanovsky, is one of the glorious pieces of Chazanut. It really is an excellent piece. The only one problem is that Barbara Streisand just ruined it. That's the only
problem.
She sings it almost as written, but with the spirit of Hollywood rather than with the spirit of synagogue.
I think you showed it to us. With the organ that comes like a harp.
Right. That the organ or the piano, sometimes the idea is that it goes pom, pom, pom. Avinu Malkeinu, Chatanu lefanecha. Avinu, and you have a feeling that the heart is beating all the time, and it has to be kept like that. And she didn't understand the whole concept of it, unfortunately. So
it should be the spirit of Hollywood and not Hollywood.
That's a good idea. Hollywood. Yeah.
Pete Sellers says a time for everything, and he forgets the last sentence.
Yeah.
Or Boney M with the on the rivers of Babylon.
Yeah. you can get the music. You can get the music from Transcontinental Publications, and it has let me tell you what the problem is with this melody. Mark Janowski wrote it to the version of the Machzor that they used in the American Reform Machzor, and it had a different order of Avinu Malkeinu verses, and therefore, and even if for that Machzor it fits only the verses for Rosh Hashanah, and not for Yom Kippur. So in some places they try to fit to change the text and the melody and all sorts of things like that. If you want to do it, and I do recommend this composition. It's a wonderful piece. Then do it as it is written. Don't change anything, and then do Avinu Malkeinu as is in the Machzor. So, for instance, what we do on Yom Kippur when the text is different from the way Janowski has it, we sing the Avinu Malkeinu by Janowski, and then in our congregation in Jerusalem, the rabbi reads Avinu Malkeinu responsively with the congregation. In your case, you can sing the melody with the congregation. And your melody is a very beautiful one. There are other melodies which are quite nice, and there are some ridiculous melodies.
Is it correct on page 381? Is it correct that we skip first two lines?
The Imloch again. It's again the same thing. It's an introduction. And again, it is skipped because it again came back in the Kiddushah melody, which does not fit. As if we don't have a replacement for it, Eli just gave us one, which may well be that if you use that melody here, that you will use it. But then we know what to do with it. Yeah? except for the same we had in the Shacharit, yes?
I want to know what you're doing with Maaseh Eloheinu. What is the melody with accepting?
Maaseh Eloheinu.
Any melody for Maaseh Eloheinu? It's similar to Imrul Eloim. The structure is similar to Imrul Eloim, but here the melody is more Nusach-like. It's a Nusach melody that was created, was fit to Maaseh Eloheinu. Originally, the poem had two sections, Maaseh Eloheinu and Maaseh Enosh, and they were constructed as contrasts to one another. And people took out Maaseh Enosh, what were the deeds of God as over against the deed of humankind. And the only thing that remained is Maaseh Eloheinu. And it is done in Nusach, in all communities, because the verses are not equal in the number of words. And therefore, it has to be done in free Nusach, as per tradition.
Why is the Aron open here?
The Aron is opened for, actually, for those places that the leaders at some point in the Ashkenazi community believed that they have to get more attention than was usually customary. And so the idea was, when you open the Ark, you must stand.